Wolverines Freedom Radio, broadcasting all around the world.
Bringing real news, politics, and even conspiracy theories.
Unlike the other guys, we won't silence you.
Join us on the latest updates with William Bernard, Virgil Sprages, Russell Hodd, right now.
Younger audience discretion advised.
Are you tired of fake politicians? Are you tired of New Mexico being last? Listen to this young student as to why we choose Karen Bodoni for governor.
If you were to ask me who was impacted most by the pandemic, I would have to say the youth. As many of us suffered mentally and physically, Santa Fe turned a blind eye towards us. We were completely alone, forgotten. One day I woke up and said, okay, that's enough. I started getting involved, and that's when I found Karen Bodoni. I support Ms. Bodoni because no one has advocated for our voices like she has. I don't believe that party should be the main factor when it comes to serving the people. A mother, teacher, worker, businesswoman, and a strong conservative New Mexican, a true reflection of the American dream. I can't think of anyone else more capable and qualified to lead us in the battle for the soul of New Mexico. For more information, please visit BodoniTough.com, paid for by Students for Bodoni and sponsored by Wolverines Freedom Radio.
My name is Karen Bodoni, and I approve this message.
Come and listen to Wolverines Freedom Radio, broadcasting now on iHeartRadio, Spreaker Radio, iTunes, Spotify, and Blog Talk Radio, with William Bernard, Virgil Sprages, Russell Hodd on your favorite apps.
There's something happening here.
Better watch where you go. Remember where you've been. That's the way I see it. I'm a to my friend Christy, who's listening, and to Ted Garcia and Joe Duran and my friend Roland Brown all the way up in Utah. Virgil, how are you doing, brother? Are you surviving?
Oh, yeah, we're surviving.
Well, we got Audrey on here, and she is no stranger. She's been on the show quite a few times, and as you know, she is running for Secretary of State in New Mexico and doing a pretty good job at beating up baggage tow health all over. But I tell you what, it's been getting sticky and everything, and we just had this mass shootings and stuff going on. And, you know, Virgil, we did this, but what, just right when we went off the air when this was going to happen, and it happened, you know?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
So, but anyhow, I'm going to bring Audrey on, and let me see. Oh, here we go. Hey, Audrey, how you doing, my amiga?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long time.
Oh, going good?
Yeah,
long time.
I'm fighting the good fight, right?
Right, right.
All for freedom.
All right. Well, so I have been reading some of the articles that came out, including the one where Maggie actually confessed that the 2020 election shouldn't have been certified after she's threatened everybody and bullied everybody and stuff. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, our commissioners are elected officials, and they have every right to question an election when things aren't done properly. And one of the things that they were questioning was the fact that these Dominion machines had not been certified properly. They were not upgraded to the latest software, and they had no certification capability because there was no certification on that software upgrade.
Right.
So, you know, that's a questionable – that's, you know, the commissioners have every right to question that because,
first
of all, you know, they're scanners. They scan our votes. Now, if those things aren't working properly, then they need to verify them with hand counts. And I did send out a letter asking them to look into that because that was something that we were aware of. There was a letter that she had sent out to the Dominion Machine Corporation that they work with, talking about that specifically. So this isn't something that we conjured up. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's nothing like that. It has nothing to do with the 2020 election that they continue to try to push as, you know, that saying that we are election deniers. We're not denying anything. We want to defend our elections, especially here in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if you remember, I worked the elections last time, and I told you all the information that I had, including that I didn't trust the machines, you know, and how they operated it and stuff, because they have these SIM discs that connects to the machines, and those things can be manipulated very easily.
Well, anytime there's a machine that can be manipulated, it needs to be questioned. Mm-hmm. And as I have, you know, done my research with the information that's out there, and this is coming from the manuals of the Dominion machine. They have the capability to do so much and they're completely porous. And as long as they have those capabilities, we have to question and we got to make sure that they're certified correctly. We got to make sure that, you know, we don't have any outside sources like, you know, other countries trying to interfere in our elections. This is stuff that we got to take care of. And it's not a partisan thing. This was a question that they had in 2016 when Hillary was, you know, Russia collusion and all this other stuff. So, you know, in order to bring back the confidence back into our people, we have to make sure to answer the questions as a Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do if I was the Secretary of State.
I would
make sure to be able to confirm that these machines were not used improperly. I would might want to make sure that we have an outside audit, you know, that the confidence in our elections is there because when we lose confidence in an election, people stop voting, and we don't want that to happen. We want people to vote. That's their 15th Amendment right in the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we worked really hard to get that right.
I've talked to quite a few that have told me they're not going to vote because of this, and it's kind of shocking. I'm like, well, you have to vote because your vote's discount, you know. And Stephanie, also, I know that you were interviewed by, was it Danish, the one that did the 2000 mutuals, who even called out Maggie.
Oh, yeah, he did. And, you know, I think here's the thing is this has become a national issue. You know, they're trying to disparage all the research and information that's out there about these machines, about the election, how, you know, it had been manipulated, especially with absentee ballots that really went out to everybody during the COVID. You know, right there opened the door to nefarious, you know, actions that took place during that election.
Well, I was talking to some of the worst people, and apparently Ethel didn't get one vote. And so, but even though people voted for her.
That was her hometown, Cuba, New Mexico. How could she have not gotten any votes in her own hometown? You know, that's suspicious enough. You know, I witnessed myself when we were looking at the numbers during the primary election. And, of course, you know, I wasn't primaried, and neither was Michelle Grisham, neither was the current Secretary of State. And looking at the numbers, you know, the Democrats had Michelle at 144,000 votes. When I looked at the numbers later, we only had 141,000 Democrats that voted in the primaries. So she had only over 3,000 more votes. And then initially, you know, all of a sudden we had 600 and I think it was 68 precincts that had not even been counted from Bernalillo County. And her numbers actually went down instead of up. So where are all these numbers just popping in and out? You know, it doesn't make sense. 20,000 votes, where did those go?
Well,
same thing
like
happened
in the beginning,
a lot of.
Right, and in the beginning, the numbers can be manipulated and stuff. And I also, I actually think Steve Pierce actually won, to be in my opinion. And also, Rebecca
Dowell.
Say
that again, I'm sorry.
I said, I think Steve Pierce won when he ran for governor against Grisham.
Oh, okay.
And I also think Rebecca Dowell won against Ron Chip. Because there are some
things
we'll
never know because if the numbers, you know, if they don't hand count or they don't have some type of way to verify those votes, then, you know, we get what we get. And that's what we've been seeing.
Exactly. Virgil, do you got any questions you want to ask in the sovereign?
Well, the thing about these new voting machines, okay, number one, okay, they need to do voter registration now if they're going to use the techno world in these elections. They need to use the registered voters like they do the TWIC cards. Okay, you have to be fingerprinted. You have to bring in your birth certificate, and you get the card. And
what are they called? TWIC cards?
Yeah, TWIC cards. It's what we have to have as truck drivers now to go in these chemical plants.
Yeah.
And they have it's called Transportation Workers Identification Credential, TWIC. And you have to have these came out after 9/11. You have to renew them every 4 years or so. And you have these cards, and you can slip them into the machine just like a debit card, and it identifies you, and you can vote. You know, another way to ensure credibility in your elections is to go back to the old slot machine voting machines, where you had to go in, pull the curtain, flip the levers, come out, and the guy pulls the handle, and pop, you know, it stamps your ballot out.
Right.
And, you know, but no, everybody wants to overthink everything, and everybody wants to fix something when it's not broke. And this is broke, and it definitely needs to be fixed. And the one thing that needs to be fixed is to get rid of these Dominion machines and come up with another system, because this ain't working. I mean, you know, if you're against voter IDs and you're against fair voting, you either have the mentality of one or two things. You either lose your place during sex, or you want to cheat. That's it. And these people are playing for keeps, darling. These people are playing for keeps. They're not stupid. They're not stupid
you know,
at all.
Everything is done on purpose, and we know that. You know that. You know we want to kind of be nonpartisan about this whole thing, but it's a struggle of power when it comes to the parties. And one party always wants to be on top, and they always want to continue to keep their power. But that's not American. You know, that is not American. That's not what the Constitution, how it was intended. You know, voting is a right, and, you know, we are given that opportunity in a free country to vote for the people that we want to represent us. And when we have things like this happening, we're not getting the representation that the majority wants. We're getting whoever's being selected.
Well, you said the key phrase, the Constitution. Okay. Mm-hmm. At one point, these people say, Constitution is old, it's obsolete.
Lost Virgil. Hopefully he calls back.
Uh-oh.
But one of the things I really wanted to ask is, if he happened to be by chance win, are you going to audit everything Maggie has done and maybe pursue charges if it comes to that?
Well, in order to restore balance, restore integrity, confidence in our elections, we have to look into all of that. We got to make sure that we start off with, a clean slate. Right now, I feel that we don't have clean voter rolls, on purpose. Some of the people that were working on voter integrity have admitted that they spent a lot of time cleaning the voter rolls, and they had a ton of names that they had to take out of the voters, including people that were dead or moved out of state. And they gave the list to the Secretary of State, and guess what? She didn't remove them. She left them in there. Why was that? I mean, these are things that need to be questioned, and these are election, these are problems in the election. Voter rolls are
true. I believe.
We got to clean those voter rolls.
The thing is, as I was saying before my phone messed up, the Constitution to them, it's obsolete. It needs to be redone. We need another constitution. And they say this out there until they get called in front of committees, and then they take the Fifth Amendment 72 times or 100 times or whatever. You see, these people don't want you to vote at all. They want to pick your governors. Okay, they want the Congress. The United States. They want to pick every governor for the state. Okay.
So look who does that. Communist countries. Venezuela. Mm-hmm. They have elections. We were looking actually into even just the way China, and the way they do their elections. All the people in their, I think they're parliamentarians, I don't think they're Congress, but equivalent to their Congress, they're all billionaires. They're all the people in power that are in there. And that's where we're coming, in America, sadly. When you look at our Congress, we have people there because we have no limits on how long they can stand there. They're 80s, 90s, almost 90-year-old people there that have been there for years and, making $178,000, I think. I don't even know what their actual amount is right now, but they become millionaires, multimillionaires.
I was looking deep into some stuff, and, involving the CCP, George Soros, as we know, George Soros has funded a lot of stuff in here.
Oh, absolutely.
With Maggie
His Chilhead. Hands are in everything.
And, if I remember when we did our first rally together, we saw George Soros, the secretary there.
Well, he put tons of money into the Secretary of State offices, attorney generals, mayor races. It's all about control. It's all about making sure they stay, they have the people that they want in office to push their agendas. And, they call us conspiracy theorists. They call us all this stuff because we're calling it out. It's fine to call things out because we've been looking, we have been watching this stuff going on for a while. It's just becoming reality now. Before it was you can't call it a conspiracy anymore because it's becoming true. So, you know, that's what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing it.
Right.
We're already right in front of our faces.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've called the shots
The thing that really got me, okay, was during the
lost him again. He's having phone issues for that. But, you know, and digging deeper into this stuff and everything, I was questioning it. My roommate was questioning it with our clerk out here because we were seeing things that was going on, and we felt they didn't let us work these elections this time around. And we felt we were being, what do you call it? They just ignored us. They didn't want us in there when they actually needed the help.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, the whole process needs to be looked at. And I've heard by, you know, a lot of people that work the elections, and they're very disappointed in the process. They didn't feel that there was a very strong chain of command, chain of custody. They felt that they weren't able to do their jobs, especially during COVID, because, you know, you were having to do 6 feet of distance. And you couldn't even see the ballots. You couldn't see signatures.
Right.
They were not verifying signatures anymore. And really, honestly, you know, how do you verify signatures? Honestly, the signatures come from your driver's license. And I just renewed my registration. And your driver's license, when you sign a computer little pad, you know, and your signature doesn't even look the same, you know.
Right,
Signature verification, I don't even think that's something that is going to be reliable to verify anything. You know, I think
they need to use fingerprint. They need to use fingerprint scanners. Fingerprint scanners very seldom fail.
Right. And that's kind of like what they've been talking about with the blockchain. I don't know if you've heard about blockchain type of voting.
Mm-hmm.
There's like all these different ways to verify that it's the person that's voting. It's another technology, so a lot of people are really afraid of it. But, you know, if we're going to use technology, we're going to have to use major securities. Look at the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
It's been tampered with, and it has higher securities than voting. You know, so if there's a way, there's definitely a way in technology to manipulate if the person really wants to do that. And that includes, you know, other people from other countries doing that in our election.
Well, I'm pretty sure
New
Mexico does it. I'm pretty sure New Mexico does it. When you go cash a check, they have the little thumbprint pad that you got to put a thumbprint on the check.
Well, there's 37
Why not do this on ballots?
Well, there's 37 other states that have some form of voter identification. We need to do that here, especially because we're at so close to the border. Every border town should have voter identification. You know, we're not only so close to the border, but, you know, honestly, New Mexico is an open door right now. Our borders are so porous. So we have people from every, 129 countries coming in or more. And there's nobody there stopping them. You know, we're just getting them in, and we have a governor, we have a president who has, you know, they don't care about the borders, obviously, because we haven't seen any
Here's the way it works. Here's the way it works, okay, with this election fraud. It's not that they're stuffing the ballot boxes, okay? What they're doing is they know who's registered to vote as Republican or Democrat. Okay, what they do is they suppress the conservative vote and replace that with the stockpile ballots to vote Democrat. That's what they do. You see, it's not a matter of overcounting votes. It's a matter of undercounting one side of the vote. That's how they do it.
Well, I think that's where they have their pool of people that they can install in there with the, you know, with the voter rolls being the way they are. You have people that don't even realize they're still voting in our elections that move to other states. You have people that are dead. You know, all that, all those voters that are just there stagnant in this pool of voters, you know, can easily be used, especially when you mm-hmm. have absentee ballots that are being sent out to everybody. You know, we didn't have that in the past. We had, you know, only a few people that were able to qualify for the absentee ballots. During COVID, everybody qualified. Now, during our fires in New Mexico, you know, she was pushing that absentee ballot as well. If you live in these fire zones where the fires are, you know, you can, you know, put in for an absentee ballot and vote for the primary. That has been a push. And, you know, absentee ballots in New Mexico, I think, is the biggest I think that was the biggest push, and that's where it can be definitely manipulated.
Right, and not only that, but the drop boxes, too. Those need to be illegal, the drop boxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah, and then it's so easy just to go drop them off in a box that's unattended. You know, they're supposed mm-hmm. to have 24-hour surveillance. Very few do. And they're put in these places where nobody's seeing what's going on. You know, you don't have somebody asking whose ballot are you dropping off, which is supposed to, you know, that's actually part of the rules. As far as boxes are concerned, you're supposed to ask. And the only people that can actually drop off a ballot is your like, if it is your mom, your dad, you know. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So,
well,
you know, not
that.
Everybody can do
that. They don't care about the laws that benefit you. Okay, like I was saying earlier before my phone messed up, I've been having problems with it. But when these committees on these gun controls were going on, there was a representative from Texas that was being questioned by Jerry Nadler. And he was explaining about how he had semi-automatic firearms for hunting, for self-defense. And he said, and we also, you know, can use them against tyranny. Well, Jerry Nadler shut everything down. He interrupted him when the word tyranny came up. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I saw
now,
that.
And Jerry Nadler asked his representative, you say you're going to use these guns against tyranny, these semi-automatic weapons. Do you intend to fire on American troops? Well, the school I went to, I don't know about y'all, but I read about some legislation that was passed back in the day, and it was signed by President Rutherford B. Hayes, and it was called Posse Comitatus.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that don't know what Posse Comitatus is, it's legislation that forbids the federal government from using United States troops to enforce domestic policy on its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So this was totally disregarded. So I interpreted that the essence of his question, that they intend to use, you know, the United States military against their own people in violation of Posse Comitatus. So that should tell you the mental state of of what they're planning. So your state elections, if they don't care about, you know, that piece of legislation, then They don't care about state rights. They don't care about voter rights. They don't care about anything. They just care about control, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And how do they control? They use fear. That's what the whole thing with this COVID was. You know, all of it's about fear and control.
Well,
if they can install enough fear in people, then they can control them.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. Been on this God's green earth a very long time. Okay, did 5 years in the Marine Corps. 10 months of that was in Beirut, Lebanon. Okay, and there's one thing I learned, especially about Americans. Okay, a person is smart. A person can figure things out, you know. But when you get into a group of people, people are panicky, dumb, dangerous, and stupid. And for some reason, when they're in a group, they'll fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fall for the COVID. They'll fall for the monkeypox. They'll fall for that your AR-15 can just jump out of the gun case, load itself, and go to school and kill a bunch of kids by itself. They'll buy anything
mm-hmm.
that's on this idiot box that comes along.
Right.
Well, that's propaganda. That's the media. You know, that's their narrative, and people are you know, lazy. I can say a lot of people are lazy, not everybody, but a lot of people are lazy to not go do their own research, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they take everything that they see on TV, you know,
mm-hmm.
as truth, and it's not. You know, not everything on there is being truthfully given to us as information.
And here's the thing, too, Virgil. I don't know if you knew what went on over here and talked about propaganda. Maggie Thomas Oliver threatened the Ontario commissioners with prison and threatened the citizens of New Mexico with prison if we question the election. And she said
she wanted to.
And they fell for
when
it.
When Otero questioned the election, commissioners
mm-hmm.
questioned the election, they certified. She
mm-hmm.
turned around and you know, she strong-armed him with, you know, she brought her lawyer in, Dan Soto, and he came in and basically threatened him that they could face.
You're breaking up, Audrey.
Okay.
Yeah, you're breaking up real bad.
Can you hear me now or not really?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay, so what I was saying is that they threatened the commissioners with fourth-degree felonies. And, you know, a lot of those commissioners, of course, you don't want a fourth-degree felony for doing your job as a elected official. And
mm-hmm.
most of them do not know their powers, unfortunately. And, you know, they were basically under duress, and they certified under duress. I don't believe
mm-hmm.
that they certified with a, you know, feeling that the election was certifiable.
Right. And here's my thing is that she should have been immediately arrested for intimidating the county commissioners. That's intimidating.
Yeah, that was
you
intimidation
know.
For sure. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she put on her Twitter, she was using the whole Otero County just to raise money, you know,
mm-hmm.
during now that she's running against me, she's, you know, she's using that same rhetoric to lie
mm-hmm.
to the people about what really went on, you know, to call
mm-hmm.
us election deniers. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you're not a denier of an election, what you're doing is you're questioning an election, and that we as taxpayers, as citizens of this state and of this country, we all have the right to ask, especially our elected officials, to look into things when we have, you know, things like look at Ethel, you know, not knowing that she had family that did vote for her and she gets zero votes. Those are serious
mm-hmm.
questions. You know, these are people
oh, yeah.
that are really hard running for office. And it's not easy to run for office. I mean, you spend a lot of time, you know, on
mm-hmm.
the road. You spend a lot of time, you know, away from your family, you sacrifice a lot. And when you
mm-hmm.
see these things, it's like a stab in your back because you're supposed to believe in the election process.
It's like this.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to be put into office and be given authority over people who are entrusted to enforce your authority, then you should be subject to the same standards as those who are entrusted to enforce that authority, such as FBI, DEA, CIA, NSA agents, Secret Service, and state police.
U.S. Marshals.
Okay.
And U.S. Marshals.
And U.S. Marshal. You should be obligated to take a voice stress polygraph test to interpret your integrity and your intent. You see, just like these people testifying at these January 6th hearing, all right?
Right.
I guarantee you, if every one of them, have you ever heard of a voice stress polygraph?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of a voice stress? You've heard of a voice stress polygraph. Do you know how this thing works? Do you know how it works?
I think it works with your heart rate when you're asking a question. And your heart rate.
No, that's a respiratory. That's a respiratory.
Oh, okay.
Polygraph. This is a voice stress polygraph. You see, state police, DEA, FBI, they all use this technology now. Okay, I'm going to use this. Trust the science. This thing is 97% accurate. 2% failure goes to the operator. 1% goes to the program. And the way it works is like this. When a person is telling the truth, okay, their voice gives off FM airwaves, just like a stereo. When a person is lying, their voice gives off AM airwaves. This descrambles, this separates the two. Now, if the person is required to take it three times, if all three results come back the same, the test is 99% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been used, it was developed by the Air Force, and it's been used by DEA agents to make sure that their informants are telling them the truth, they're not being set up to be killed. FBI uses it. They used one on the guy that murdered my niece. It aided in the conviction of him, and it's impeccable. It's impeccable. Mm-hmm. You look it up. Look it up. Okay? And here's what you can do. Look it up. Find out who's got one. Go take the test yourself and make the results of your test public. Then you ask your opponent, come on, so-and-so. You take the test. Show everybody your integrity. Show everybody your credibility. Come on. I took it, and I passed it. Come on, so-and-so, take the test. Take the test. And I guarantee you,
imagine if everybody did that.
Once she publicly says, oh, well, I don't need to take a test. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. You know, it puts the denial in people's minds that saying, well, if she don't want to take the test, she must have something to hide. And that, okay?
Right.
Okay? Because the worst thing that people can do when it comes to these elections, I don't care what it is, the worst thing people can do is start thinking. And once you start them to thinking, then you got them in your pocket. You got them in your pocket if you're in the right.
What they've been doing, that's hard. It's hard to get people out here to think.
But I'm telling you, darling, I guarantee, I bet you dollars against pesos, you try it, it'll work. You'll win. You'll win.
Right. Well,
so Audrey,
one of the things. Yes.
Go ahead, Audrey. Go ahead, Alfie. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I totally agree. You know, people that are running for office, they got to go in there with a servant's heart. If they're not in there for the right reasons, then they shouldn't be running because they're not representing the people. I'm representing the people of New Mexico because I believe that New Mexico deserves so much better. You know, what we've been seeing is there's no justice. You know, we have people in office that get away with literally murder. And and people are tired of seeing that. They're tired of seeing that New Mexico is just basically sold out. We're sold out to different countries. You know, little by little, our property is being sold out. You know, this 30 and 30 and all these different things where – you know, we have the mini Green Deal. We have ranchers struggling because of all this new Green Deal stuff that they're trying to push down everybody's throats. And look at they're trying to outlaw on the legislature. They're trying to outlaw wood burning stoves. You know that this is New Mexico. This is the Southwest. A lot of people heat their homes with wood burning stoves, and you're going to outlaw that source of heat. You know, this is getting very, very draconian, and it's already past that, I'm pretty sure. But we got to stand up because every time they take away and chip at our freedoms, it's very hard to get them back. So we got to stand up and fight, and that's why I'm running. You know, I just want integrity back into our government. I want people to be held accountable.
Snow lottery, I heard they were trying to outlaw this from growing on gardens too, from my understanding.
I didn't understand you. What did you say?
I said I'm hearing too that they're going to try to outlaw growing your own food, you know, in your backyard. That they're trying to push that too.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, one of the things they did in Venezuela was they took away the ability to get seeds, you know, mm-hmm. to grow gardens, to grow food, and you saw how that, you know, they were burning their own money in the streets. And
yeah.
you looked at some of those pictures. They're eating their dogs because they were starving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we want that to come here? Of course not.
Well,
so we got to stand up now. You know, we're not going to leave our generations or our children anything if we don't stand up and fight right now.
Wouldn't be the first time I saw that. Similar.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Beirut and I saw children 10, 12 years old with old World War II Russian infield rifles shooting rats big as beagles for food coming out of the debris, going in looking for chewing on dead bodies and coming out and they'd shoot them and eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So.
But one of the main questions I really wanted to ask is, with all this dark money floating around, are you going to try to put a stop to it if you, once you become elected, to keep all this out?
Well,
like
that all comes with transparency with the elections.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be very transparent. These CFIS reports, we need to be even more transparent than they already are. I think
mm-hmm.
with the new system that they have in place where you plug in your information to let the people know where you're spending your money when you're running for office, all of
mm-hmm.
that has to be a lot more, it has to be more detailed. I don't think there's enough
right.
detail, especially when it comes to PACs. You know, we have
mm-hmm.
super PACs, we have lobbyists, we have all these, this dark money that can come from any PAC that's put out there. I mean, Soros
mm-hmm.
has, you know, I don't even know, I've lost count of how many PACs, but a lot of those PACs are tied to New Mexico, and they're tied to Maggie Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied to Michelle Grisham. They're
mm-hmm.
all tied to a lot of these Democrat
mm-hmm.
candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And,
the and
they get
poured
money into their accounts, you know, millions
right.
of dollars. Super PACs have no limit. They can put as
right.
much money as they want, and they don't have to say where it came from.
Right. And that needs to be illegal. But it's like Virgil in Russell.
Well,
so,
even
so
out-of-state money. Why should out-of-state money be controlling our elections?
Right.
The money should come from the residents here that live here.
That is called the industrial military complex.
Mm-hmm.
That is called the industrial military complex, plain and simple.
Hey, mm-hmm.
If you have something in your state, especially minerals, that is profitable,
mm-hmm.
The industrial military complex is going to get their hands on it, and they're going to spend a lot of money to get their hands on it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where New Mexico is so rich. We have so many resources here. We don't have to be living like this. We don't have to be paying these high-priced gases because, honestly,
know.
We have more gas than all these other countries in New Mexico. Why are we paying outrageous prices
here's the thing, Audrey. Here's the thing, Audrey. You know, people
mm-hmm.
go by the fairy tale that that oil is the remnants of a prehistoric dinosaur era. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. The size of the world has been the same since day one. Okay?
Right.
So you got to drill 5-10 miles down to hit oil, you know, from a prehistoric age. Well, guess what? If you got to drill down that far, you know, then evidently the world must have been smaller than what it is now.
Right.
You see, oil is an organism. Oil rejuvenates itself. You can deplete the well
right.
so much, then shut it down. Then come back 25 years later, and it will rejuvenate itself to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
oh,
you
know
any
that.
Resource now that can be extracted from New Mexico is done in a very clean way. We're not in the
mm-hmm.
you know, the Stone Ages. They've created so many ways to make sure that it's safe and it doesn't mm-hmm. destroy our waters and it doesn't destroy our earth. And you know, those things were done on purpose to make sure that, you know, we were able to use these type of resources and make sure that mm-hmm. they didn't harm us. But now we
right.
see, you know, they don't even look at that. You know, we have scrubbers for even the when they do the coal. They have mm-hmm. the pipeline is one of the most safest ways to extract oil. But that was shut mm-hmm. down. You know, it's easier to do that than and put them in big old tanks and take them across the country, you know. Mm-hmm. But here we go again. Everything's backwards.
Right.
I feel like this whole hey. Time that we're living in has been backwards.
Very backwards, you know. Hey, we got a caller in. I'm going to bring the caller in and stuff. But, you know, with this new Green Deal, this is what's destroying us, destroying New Mexico and everything, you know. And we don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need the Green Deal. You know, I'm totally against it. But I'm going to bring this caller on. Let's see here. Who it is. Hey, caller, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joseph. How's everybody?
Hey. Good. How you doing, brother?
Not bad, not bad. I just came in at the time when Virgil was talking about recommending to somebody running for office to take a certain type of lie detector test. And
right.
that was something that I had suggested. I had grilled a potential candidate about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he would be willing to take a lie detector test once or twice a year once he got into office. He kind of refuted the argument at first, but then he kind of went along with it because he said that, you know, it's he doesn't want his Fifth Amendment rights to be violated. And I said, you know, you're mm-hmm. not, you're a public figure, you're a statesman, mm-hmm. and we the people, we have the right to know everything about you. You're not a celebrity.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
mm-hmm.
Virgil, what was that method that you were talking about? Because I missed it.
Okay, it's a it's called a voice stress polygraph. It was developed by the Air Force years ago. And the DEA uses it, and the FBI use it. They use it on like undercover informants and things to make sure that they're not being set up to be assassinated or whatever. They use this thing all the time, and state police use it all the time.
Uh-huh.
And what it is, when a person is telling the truth, their voice gives off FM airwaves. When a person is lying, that person gives off AM airwaves. And this one deciphers the two. And it's 97% accurate. 2% failure goes to the operator. 1% goes to the program. It's big as a laptop. So what happens is they give you the test three times.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's calibrated, if the test comes back conclusive all three times, then it's considered 99% accurate. And the way they calibrate it is this. They ask you a series of questions, and they tell you, okay, don't tell the truth to these questions. Have you ever driven over the speed limit? Have you ever gotten a speeding ticket? Have you ever consumed alcohol? Have you ever smoked a cigarette? And you answer no, 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 no to all those questions. Well, it registers. The AM waves in your voice register. Then they ask you the same questions, and they tell you to tell the truth. It registers the FM waves. Once that machine is calibrated, then they ask you the series of questions. And the way it works, it looks just like a seismograph. When you are telling the truth, it's straight lines. When you lie, oh, that needle jumps around. It jumps mm-hmm. around. I've seen them use it. I've seen them use it right here at the Iberville Parish Sheriff's Office a dozen times. And they have caught people. They finally just get them to the point where, okay, you got me. And they just confess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works. and the thing works perfectly. I'm a firm believer in it. I believe that everyone on these that has to testify to these January 6th committees, to the Russian collusion and everything else, they should have to take one prior or post their testimony. And if they're lying as post-testimony, they get charged with perjury, and the ass goes to jail.
Yep.
Oh, we know they're lying. Nothing's going to happen.
You know.
Well, you know, that's the thing is they've been, you know, there needs to be verified information, and that's a, that's one way to do it. You know, you have to have people that are honest testifying. And, you know, another thing, I would even go a step further in drug testing. You know, how many people are on Adderall? How many people are taking, you know, drugs and participating and making bills and doing everything else? You know, we have to be held at a higher accountability because we are running for, you know,
well,
we are
Audrey,
representing the people in office.
Well, Audrey, we have eyewitness testimony that when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, he sent Arkansas state troopers down here to Louisiana to John Breaux's house to pick up cocaine. And bring it back to Arkansas.
Well, definitely believable, you know, like we've seen, you know, all these people that have been in office, they literally get away with murder and nothing happens to them. There's
well,
no justice.
You remember that little deal called the Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare? Huh?
Yes.
And the one vote that got it passed through the Senate was from a senator from Louisiana by the name of Mary Landrieu.
Vaguely.
Does that name sound from vaguely? You remember it? Well, that was Hillary Clinton's cocaine and semi-lesbian buddy right there. Mary Landrieu.
Yep.
Okay, so that's why it passed. And then she got out of office.
Well, even going back to the Secretary of State, you know, from all the years that I was doing research on them, every Secretary of State has been very dirty. It's amazing how much they get away with, whether it be play for play or laundering money or using campaign funds to, you know, gamble or whatever else. And it's not a partisan thing. We've seen it. You know, I'm ready for an honest Secretary of State. I want somebody who's going to be in there for the right reasons, not there to get rich off the people or the taxpayers, you know, who's there to do right by the people, you know, to take care of our elections, to make sure that we have, you know, credibility when it comes to recording every legal document in the state of New Mexico. Those are very important things to us as citizens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, Audrey, you know that that a dishonest person is more dependable than an honest person. If you don't believe that, I'll prove it to you.
Okay.
All right. You can always depend on a dishonest person to be dishonest. You can never depend on an honest person to stay honest.
Yeah, I figured you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
but
sadly,
anyway,
it's human nature.
Right.
The human
simple
nature.
Well, I just getting close to that time and everything. But, Audrey, you know, I'm rooting for you. I'm hoping you get it.
I hope you win, too, darling. I hope you win, too.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, let's put it in fruition, and we are going to win. Because the people are the voices. We have to make sure everybody goes out and votes. You know, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged with all the corruption that we have now in the state. Because, you know, we have to not let them stop us from doing our civic duty, and that is voting.
Right.
But
I guarantee
you put your opponent on the spot with that boisterous polygraph. Because this is the same thing they use on the Morris Show. This is the same thing they use on the Morris Show. The same type of
thing. Well,
the same apparatus.
Like I said, I have nothing to hide, and I'm here for the right reasons. Now, is she, you know, is she willing to do that? I guarantee you she would deny it.
Right. Well, I was going to say because...
Well, get her to deny it in public. You take it. Don't be a hypocrite. You take it.
Right.
Produce your results to the public. Okay? Then put her on the spot in public, and when she denies it in public, that's going to spray the WD-40 in a lot of people's ears, and it's going to get the wheels in their brain to turning.
I'm telling you,
we have a saying about that. We have a saying about that in Louisiana. It's called breaking a dog out of sucking eggs.
Right. I hadn't heard that one. Well, we have a saying in Spanish, and it's el que escupa al cielo a cara cae. That's what it means is he who spits in the sky, it'll fall in your face. So
right.
I think that's what's going to happen with a lot of these people.
I only speak two languages, English and Marine.
But getting ready to get close to that time and stuff and everything, but Audrey, I'm so glad you came back. We're going to have you back here pretty soon and stuff. But, you know, Maggie made herself look pretty foolish. The article I just read that you posted out there, you know, we got Supreme Court to get ready to make a decision on voting, and I'm thinking that's why she changed her tone the way she did. That's making her look bad all the way around already, you know.
Well, you know, here's the thing, you know, when you have a Secretary of State who continues to bully her citizens and has no respect for elected officials, you know, and then she's calling foul and saying that she's being, that people are calling her and threatening her, you know, what does she think? You know, what does she think that, you know, she's doing a great job when people are threatening her? You know,
people don't threaten
someone who's doing a great job. And I absolutely,
right.
If she was doing a great job, I would not be running for this position.
Right.
So
and
she can take that one to
the
bank.
And I hope she listens to this podcast. And Virgil, what gets me, brother, why would Ayn Rand be after her, Margaret? I saw that, and I died laughing. She's not that impressive.
I have no idea. You know, a lot of stuff that comes out of them makes no sense. Even the insinuation that I'm an anti-Semitic, that was something that they pulled out of their hat. that was from a meme that was against the COVID vaccinations being forced on people, and these people who own these companies were making billions of dollars. You know, for a vaccination that had no liability. And here they're giving it to our children. And yet, because I must have, you know, I did not actually remember that post because it was over a year. But if I posted it, it was nothing to do with anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism doesn't even make sense that they would even bring that up because, number one, I've always been for Israel. And it has nothing to do with any of that, you know, it just made no sense. But yeah,
these far leftists, you know, they're going to use everything. You're homophobic. You're Islamophobic. You're this. You're that. You know, that's what you're doing.
Well, you know, I'm a conservative, and that really scares them. I'm also, you know, born and raised here in New Mexico. I'm a Hispanic woman. You know, I've never used my race to make myself any better than anybody else, because it's not something that we should be doing anyway. And the fact that, you know, they want to call me racist for a wordplay, I mean, that was actually, you know, very political instead of, you know, it wasn't racist. You know, it was actually, let me tell you what it was. It was a wordplay, and it was the word of the day was body wash. And this was during the presidency when they were running for 2020.
Yeah.
And it was it was a Mexican guy with a sombrero, and there's always these memes are all over the internet. And
yeah, I saw that.
Said,
I remember. Yeah.
He said Biden was on TV last night, but nobody washed. Then the word was body wash. You know, and it's like, really? I mean, okay, I now I'm racist. So, you know, all of what they're saying is foolish. It's childish. It doesn't make no sense. They have never asked me to do any kind of interview to talk about what the reasons why I'm running for Secretary of State. And that's unfortunate because you know what? The people need to hear need to hear that they have a choice and that I am very different from who's in there right now.
The only thing I have against Latino people is that when they invite you to a party, you cannot leave their house for 3 days. You know.
Well, that's true.
You're in a food coma. Just kidding. Because they'll feed you.
But that's why I brought you on, to give you that chance and everything. I'm going to have you come on again probably within the next couple of weeks and everything, you know, and stuff.
When is the election? When are y'all going to get down to the nut cutting?
November 8th.
November 8th.
It's actually November 8th.
All right, Audrey, I'm going to ask you this question right now.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was a poll taken, and the question was, do you believe this country is headed for a civil war as it sits right now? What is your yes or no? Do you see a civil war on the horizon if things do not change?
Absolutely. I do.
Okay, you're okay. Now, the reason I asked that is because I did the math on it. Okay, mm-hmm. The census shows there's about 390.5 million people. 44% of that poll that I just asked you about said yes, just like you. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That is 144,988,000. Okay. The American military, like Jerry Nadler is insinuating, has roughly about, with reserves, roughly about a little under 2 million people. Okay. So if I got this for you, Nadler, if you got your handlers listening to this. You can try it, but you ain't going to win.
That's why they haven't tried it already.
And that's what all of this gun control is about. Mm-hmm. That's what all of this gun control is about, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
that's why they're raising the price
of ammunition. That's what Biden wants to do. He's doing that right now. He's trying to pass laws that will raise the ammunition to be so expensive we can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So they'll try to get their way regardless of how they do it.
Ha, 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 darling. Mm-hmm. You ought to come visit my house one day. You ought to come visit
my house.
We know
where to go. Well, you know, our Second Amendment is so important that none of, you know, it protects our first. It protects everything. And we got to stand by it no matter what. Because that's the only thing that is going to protect this country and keep us from becoming communist and staying free.
And also, darling, exactly. You need to point out, I know it's got nothing to do with the Secretary of State, but it gets people thinking, you know, 10,000 mm-hmm. cattle in Kansas died because all of them had a heat stroke at the same time. But no dogs or horses or sheep died. You know, you need to point that out. You need to point that
mm-hmm.
out.
Well, you know, my dad's a rancher up north, and they're already seeing it. You know, they're making it very hard for the ranchers to have cattle, to graze them, you know, in the forest. They're doing everything they can to eliminate them from having cattle.
Why is the government sending out letters? Why is the government mm-hmm. sending out letters to farmers saying they'll pay them $2,300 per acre not to harvest their crops.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling them to eliminate their cattle, you know?
When were you born, darling? You sound young.
I was born in 1972. So I just turned 50 in March. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you ever saw a movie with Charlton Heston called Soylent Green?
Oh, gosh. I saw so many old movies with my dad. What was it about? I probably remember it more. I saw a lot of stuff.
It was shot back in the 70s, but the timeline was 2022, the year 2022.
Wow. Okay.
And if you get a chance, go to Netflix or wherever, Paramount, whatever you got on your TV, and look up that movie Soylent Green and watch it.
Soylent Green. Okay.
Your jaw will drop to the ground. Watch it very closely.
Watch it.
Interesting. Interesting that all these old movies have predicted what we're seeing right now. It's crazy.
It is.
Even with the pandemic, exactly how it all turned out. There's a lot of movies out there that were done way back.
Well, 2022 is sounding like a Mad Max movie. You know, a plague has swept the planet. Men are killing each other over gasoline. Women are forced to have babies, and it's all being controlled by a leader named Joe. So.
Oh wow.
Not me. The other Joe. Actually, it's a guy by the name of Klaus Sprouse. If you don't know who he is, look him up.
But
wow,
watch that movie.
I'm gonna have
watch
to look
that
up.
Movie. Watch that movie, Soylent Green, and I guarantee you, all you have to do is think about what's going on today, and your jaw will hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'll definitely check
out that movie.
Okay.
Well, I had so much fun with you gentlemen, and it was really nice to come back on the show. Thank you, William. I appreciate it, and I'd love to come back whenever you want me to come back.
Yeah, well,
I definitely want
back.
To.
Well, I'm trying to get Ron Shetty on. I tried to get him on, but he's refused, so I don't think there's any help of him coming on here. But I'm glad you came on, and and everything, and we love you. You know that. So,
oh, thank you. Well, I don't compromise my values or my morals. You've always known me to be the same. You can look back years from, since we've been on Facebook and friends and stuff. And, the truth is the truth. And, I'm running because I believe in New Mexico. I believe that we deserve more. We deserve a better life here.
Oh,
and it's not by compromising values, but by working individuals like yourself and myself and our families.
Mm-hmm.
To get
That's
what we
true.
Have. Nothing was given to us.
And make That's sure true. You tell other Latino people, don't listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. There is no way we can send a space mission to the sun, and even if it lands at night, they won't survive. Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, I don't consider myself a Latina because my family comes from Spain. Mm-hmm. We're European, Spain and Portugal. But, we do share the Latin language. We all, I speak fluent Spanish, and I speak a little bit of Portuguese. But here's the thing is, everybody's important. I don't care where you come from. If you're a hardworking American citizen, paying your taxes, doing the right thing, you deserve fair representation, and that means we need fair elections in New Mexico.
Oh, exactly, 100%. Well, my friends, we'll go ahead and sign off, and Audrey,
Alrighty.
I'll post this. This will be broadcasting everywhere. As soon as I post it, it'll be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, so just look for it. And I'll talk to you when I get off. Virgil, you be careful out there.
Okay, a special shout-out to Nikki. Thank you very much, I will. Special shout-out to Nikki and Courtney. They're fans of the show, so I'll mention them whenever I get a chance to. Two very awesome people.
Right.
Awesome. God bless everybody out there.
And our friend Tim Garcia, he's been listening in, and Joe Duran and all the rest of the Guinness, they've all been listening in. So big shout out to all of you guys. And we'll go ahead and close off. Audrey, I'll talk to you in a little while.
All righty. You guys take care. Have a blessed evening. Thank you.
Come and listen to Wolverine's Freedom Radio, broadcasting now on iHeartRadio, Spreaker Radio, iTunes, Spotify, and Blog Talk Radio with William Bernard, Virgil Sprageus, Russell Hodd on your favorite apps.
There's something happening here.